Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100, get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast's Final Four Watch Party, April the 1st at 7:30 p.m. SGP will be at the Ice House in Los Angeles. So come out, hang out with the crew. All the info at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Thursday, March the 23rd. It is also the last Thursday forever that we don't have Major League Baseball. This time next week, we'll have already lost a load of bets and fantasy teams will be busted and DFS lineups will be bottom of the table and all that stuff that we live for. So, yes, 7 days to go. And what we've got tonight is the final installment of our six-part divisional previews with the National League Central. We've saved the most exciting one to last. And this evening, I've got the youth team with me, fresh out of Vegas, Mr. Noah Bennick. Noah, what's happening?
What's going on, Malcolm? Yeah, we saved the worst two divisions for last, and you saved them both for me. I feel appreciated. I'm ready to talk it. Let's dive in.
That's because you have dogs in them, though, don't you?
I do.
In the shit divisions. Right, that's your thing.
Yep, the toilet bowls.
Someone who prefers his fandom at the higher end of the spectrum, but he will dip his toe into the muck down here every now and again, is Mr. Dylan Rockford. Dylan, how are you doing?
Boys, how are you? It's been a long time, but Malcolm, you're right. 7 days away, opening day. But World Baseball Classic was exciting. I wish they did it every year, to be honest. Big fan of that. But yeah, can't wait to get into it. NL Central.
Yeah, you just touched on that, didn't we? We have to start with that because...
Hey, that's a Mets fan saying he wants it every year, so...
Hats off to you. There's been a...
Yes, thing.
I mean, I hear about it, and at the end of the day, these are grown men. If they want to play, just let them play, and everyone's advocating to play. You see how much it means to them just getting a strikeout in the seventh inning. Getting behind it. On my bucket list, watching the games in Tokyo, going to the Tokyo Dome. Oh my God, I want to go to a game out there. But these guys are passionate. They want to play for their country, and you see guys like Mookie Betts, Mike Trout come out and say they regret not playing in last tournament. So, I mean, it's unfortunate what happened to Diaz, but it was a freak accident. We just got to keep it moving.
Yeah, it was a freak accident. You look at what happened to Rhys Hoskins has gone down this afternoon, carted off. I don't know if we'll see him again this season, but then Pete Alonso's returned to the Mets today, said it's been the best time of his life. And myself and Noah did the preview show on Tuesday. And again, there was quotes from a lot of the American players who said it was just the greatest time. There was players saying it was incomparable even to playoff baseball, that it was a step up from playoff baseball. And not to mention the global appeal. You can't be as parochial as to just thing that it was a US thing. There was, I think, 97% of households in Japan watched that game. I mean, that is an absolutely preposterous figure. And then the game itself, I went to bed after the fifth inning. I stayed until about 1:30 in the morning and really enjoyed it. And then I got up and people had talked about, and myself and Nora talked about the spectre of the Ohtani Trout thing. And when I woke up, I put the YouTube highlights on to watch the rest. And the first thing he said at the top of the ninth inning was, and USA, coming up for USA will be 9-1-2. And I just thought, no way, there's no way this has actually happened. It was like the cheesiest movie that you've ever watched. And sure enough, coming up were 9-1-2. And that Ohtani v. Trout at-bat was just electric. And Ohtani, the final pitch was just mind-bending, Noah. It was great stuff. And after all that, we picked a winner. We picked Japan. The plus 100. I have no idea how we did on the props. We did take the over, but they left base runners. There was base runners left all over the place. But yeah, we did all right, Noah. But that last at-bat was something else.
Yeah, it was really cool. And the mind games there was plenty. I mean, Shohei Ohtani, known for that splitter, he didn't throw it once to Mike Trout, who had struck out on it twice earlier in the game. I thought for sure, I was telling, like, my dad was watching it right next to me. I was like, the splitter's coming at some point, and it didn't come. And he went to the slider to open up the at-bat and finish the at-bat. So yeah, we had Japan 3-1 to win it all. Venezuela, of course, didn't come through for us. I had loads on Taiwan, which that was just, I mean, I'm going to consider it a bad beat when everybody goes 2-2 and they just don't even advance, you know. We had Italy to advance plus 140. We had Mexico Mexico plus 350 to win pool C. You had them to advance. And I had Venezuela plus 330 to win pool D. You had them to advance as well. We had a really, really successful WBC on this podcast.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. And I know, like I say, it got a lot more global attention. It's really the most, even BBC News and stuff was carrying some BBC headlines on the website after GB got our win against Colombia. So it certainly raised the profile. As ever, the MLB Gambling Podcast on all your usual socials. We are live on YouTube this evening, and we've got our watchers and commenters. Cereal is in. You boy, Noah and Dylan probably missed the squirty cream incident on the Premier League gambling podcast last week. But no, Cereal, I do not have squirty cream in that. It's a cup of tea. It's not an egg either. Egg in a cup and squirty cream have been some of the silliest Premier League gambling podcast things.
To see what that cream was, actually. I didn't
It was
know.
Just, well, the Discord channel was alive for about 36 hours with, and it's just whipped cream, Dylan. You would just call it whipped cream that you'd have on your ice cream or apple pie. Aerated whipped cream was the official boring explanation.
All right.
But it's squirty cream.
All right.
Okay. We've got to stop. I've said squirty cream far more times.
Man, too much.
Too much. Yeah, stop saying squirty cream. And I don't even want to go into egg in a cup. What we do is we talk about baseball and we talk about the NL Central. I don't mind this division. It's quite good fun. We know, Noah, you've got a dog in the fight. You have you're a bit of a Pittsburgh guy. I mean, it does look like a match at the top of the market. But they've all got win totals. They're all going to go over or under something. So we'll get to all five teams. Presently, once I've told you about WinBet, the official online sports of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, WinBet is active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for the WinBet Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time during WinBet Win Hour. Marquee games of the week will have better odds on WinBet, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. Loads of ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100. Get $100. Limited to state availability. For our DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. Loads to choose from. Head to winbet.com. Or download the WinBet app. Offer subject to change. T's and C's at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you assume there's a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. The SGP Final Four. Watch party being hosted at the historic Ice House in Pasadena, CA. Saturday, April the 1st at 7:30 p.m. All the details for that are on sportsgamblingpodcast.com/ Ice House. And this incredible contest for the Masters, I've been watching the golf tonight, the WGC. I've got a couple of live DFS lineups. But if you're looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at Stadium Swim, you can win a three-night stay at the Circa Las Vegas to hang out with the boys. Contest is completely free to enter. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room using the promo code SGP15.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But it seems, I can't believe that this time next week we're going to be watching MLB baseball. It's incredibly exciting. I need to take next Thursday off just to set fantasy lineups. I've got that many teams going. I mean, it's a proper 6-hour job. Like, I'm going to close the curtains, lock the doors, and set all those lineups and know how we need to get our TG FBI in order as well. But we'll start this NL Central preview with the St. Louis Cardinals, who are 22-1 to win the World Series, 11-1 to win the National League. They are -110 for this division. To reach the playoffs are -227. And we have a over-under win total here of 88.5. So I'm all right with this. The World Series odds for me are fine. I've got them round about 20-1 shots, and the line's up at 22-1. So I could bet them. I think it's the only bet I'd take on these lines, actually. I think the divisional odds are spot on. They should be favourites, but there's not much in it. I think the total's on the money as well. They've added Wilson Contreras. They had to make sure they got this call right, I think, to replace Yadi Molina, because Yadi Molina's been there forever. So this was an important call on the field, but also I think culturally as well for the clubhouse and for the St. Louis fans. The replacement catcher, whoever was going to replace Molina, I think was important. But other than that, they're kind of rolling with the same roster. They've got a young lineup, which means they can kind of roll with the same roster. Paul Goldschmidt is the exception there. And they still roll out, they have this conveyor belt of young kids that come from nowhere. Tommy Edman, Tyler O'Neill, Dylan Carlson, Donovan. Last year was Lars Nootbaar, who we've just seen doing things for Japan and the WBC. And Jordan Walker is going to be this year's player. He looks like he's going to break camp at third base. So the lineup's great. The rotation is interesting. I think Adam Wainwright's going to struggle.
He's actually hurt right now too. Strained groin.
Yeah. I hadn't seen that. You've got Miles Mikolas, and I do think Jordan Montgomery's going to go okay. The interesting ones for me, the 4 and 5, who are Jack Flaherty and Steven Matz. Flaherty just wants a good season. I think everyone in baseball wants him to have a healthy season because he's capable of great things. We just haven't seen it enough. And Steven Matz, Dylan, you can probably tell us a bit more about him. He was a New York Met. I liked him at the Mets, and I did watch him in a spring training game last week. And he looked really, really sharp. I think Matt has got a lot of upside. I love the bullpen. So, yeah, they look very... So it's hard to pick holes in this team at all. They look very, very solid. The play I would take from those top-line bets is the World Series play. Like I say, I've got them at 20-1. You can get 22s. There might even be a 25s if you shop around. So, yeah, I would happily take the cards. It's hard to pick holes in them. Dylan... You can start with Steven Matz, but the rest of the cards, what are you telling me?
Yeah, Steven Matz, he was good for the Mets, but I don't even know if he's confirmed as their number 5 starter. I think Dakota Hudson, he might get a run at that as well. So it'll be interesting to see at 5, you're right. I don't know about their rotation. I think But the Cardinals, they do a good job at the deadline picking pitchers up and making room. So I think they'll do that. I love this team. You mentioned it. They did lose Albert Pujols, Yadier Molina. They lost Alex Reyes, Jose Quintana, Corey Dickinson as well. The only piece you mentioned that they added was Wilson Contreras. I didn't think they had to add much because they have those young prospects coming up. You mentioned Jordan Walker; he's supposed to be a beast. They have a lot of depth with this team, and I know a lot of people are worried about this rotation. And yeah, it might not be the best. I think the Brewers have the best rotation in the NL Central, but I think they have enough guys that are good enough to win with their lineup. Their lineup is stacked, and like I said, we always see the Cardinals make room around the trade deadline for more pitching. So. Overall, I think this is the best defensive team in the division. I think they have the best lineup in the division. So I feel like the number at 88.5 that I'm seeing, I think it's kind of low. I think they win 90 games this season. So this is a no-brainer for me. So I'm gonna be on the over 88.5 wins for the Cardinals.
Okay. Noah, how are you feeling?
Well, as I always say on this podcast, I bet on pitching, and this isn't one of the stronger tandems, in my opinion, in this division. Like Dylan mentioned, Dakota Hudson and Matthew Liberatore both knocking on the door here with plenty of starting pitcher depth. As right now, I think Roster Resource has Jake Woodford as the SP5. Mm-hmm. This team has plenty of SP2s. I don't think they really have an ace right now. They have Michaelis, Montgomery, Flaherty, and Wainwright, but none of them really, I think, are like when they're on the mound, they're going to get you a win. Type guys. And then the bullpen, it's got some really good pieces in Ryan Helsley and Giovanni Gallegos, both of those guys capable of closing games. And this is the strongest lineup in the division. Personally, I'm not going to put any money down on it, but I'm not strongly fading this team. I just think there's better options to place money throughout the division. This is a team the same way I attacked it last year. I want to see how they play. Like a lot of the times I'm not putting money down in the preseason based on any team could be just petrified by injuries throughout the year, and it just destroys a future. This is a team that I want to see how they perform throughout the year. And around All-Star break, I'll reassess the situation with how the starting rotation's performing like we did last year. And that's how I will attack it.
Yeah, that's a good move because I think for 2 years running, actually, on the show, the Cards have been our best friends at the halfway point. We backed them last year, I think, plus 140 to overturn the Brewers, and they ran them down with ease. Cards are traditionally for the last 2 years, been a better second half team. So by all means, live betting them as the season goes on. That's a nice point, Noah. We will move on to the Milwaukee Brewers, who are 28-1 shots for the World Series, 14-1 for the National League, plus 145 for this division, plus 100 to make the playoffs, and their total is two fewer than the Cardinals at 86.5. Noah, lead us off with the Brewers.
This rotation has the best 1-2 punch in all of the MLB. Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, with Freddie Peralta on the cusp of a bounce back if he stays healthy. Then you have Eric Lauer and Wade Miley as southpaw SP4 and SP5 to round out a solid, solid rotation. They won't have to worry about their closer as Devin Williams is it back there. He's a top five closer in all of the MLB. But after that, there are some doubts that I have. But Craig Counsell has been at the helm for a while. He's done this before with less. I can trust him. The lineup, I'm really optimistic about this Milwaukee Brewers lineup. I mean, up and down, I'm always a sucker for Christian Yelich. But I think this lineup is better than in years past for Milwaukee. Willie Adames batting .200, Tellez batting .300. William Contreras, they acquired from Atlanta, he's batting cleanup. Jesse Winker, they acquire from Seattle, batting .500. If he can have a bounce back year, he's a very nice middle of the order bat. Luis Urias had a great World Baseball Classic. Garrett Mitchell is my long shot for NL Rookie of the Year. A lot of people all over Jordan Walker. I think 5-tool guy in Garrett Mitchell, he's 30-1, is worth a dabble. Brian Anderson batting .800 is capable. Great veteran third baseman. He's going to play some outfield for this team as well. For me, I like the Brew Crew to win the NL Central at plus 175 or make the playoffs at plus 115, whatever you desire. And sprinkle something on Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff to win the NL Cy Young as well. Burns is plus 550, Woodruff 19-1. Both of those guys definitely, top 10 pitchers in the NL for sure. They could definitely run away with that award if they have their best stuff going this year.
Okay, so positive vibes from Noah for the Brewers. Dylan, are you agreeing?
This one was the hardest one for me. I feel like for most of the teams in this division, I was pretty cut and clear what I was doing over, under, but this one was the hardest one for me. You know, 86 wins last year. They lost Andrew McCutchen, Colton Wong, Hunter Renfro, Omar Navarez. They, like Noah said, Jesse Winker, they had him, Abram Toro, Luke Voigt, Tyler Naquin, William Contreras, Wade Miley. He's right. They have the best rotation in the NL Central. I think we'll see a lot of low scoring games from them like we did last year. So that's how they win ball games. I'm going to be betting a lot of unders for the Milwaukee Brewers. But as for the lineup, look at the top. I don't know. We just don't know what to expect from Christian Yelich, he's had back spasms in the past. Will he have a bounce back season? I'd hope so, but I just don't know. I worry about their lineup. I like their rotation, and pitching does win games. So not my most confident play or something I'm running to the window with, but at plus money, I'm seeing over at plus 115, over 85.5 wins. I'll take a shot with the Brew Crew to go over that, but not my most confident play.
Yeah, I think the word I've written down here with their lineup is kind of dependable rather than spectacular. But that might just be good enough because there's one player that I like. I won't go over what Noah explained about the lineup, etc. And it's the bet to make the playoffs. So I saw them at plus 100. I think Noah mentioned he'd seen a plus 115. And I can't see really where... there's no weakness in there. Like I say, it's not a spectacular lineup, but it doesn't necessarily have to be behind that rotation in bullpen. I would have liked them to have added maybe one big splash because I don't think they're that far away. They're probably only 3 or 4 wins away from being a shorter price favourite to win this division. And I think they could have got a 4 or 5 win player if they'd spent a little bit of money, but they didn't. To make the playoffs is a good price. I make it around about minus 120 and you can pick them up at plus money. However, I think if you want to bet the Brewers, I think the way to do it would be to take the exacta on the Brewers to finish first and the Cardinals finish second, because I think that's the only real way around it can be. I can't see the Cubs getting anywhere near the Cardinals, and the other two are a write-off. So that's a price of plus 225. So if you want to take the Brewers to win the division, I think if you just stick the Cardinals to finish second to them, it kind of doubles your odds. So obviously there is a little inbuilt risk in case if they do blow up and the Cubs win 10 games more than they should do. But I don't think that's likely to happen. So yeah, for me, it'll be Milwaukee to make the playoffs and then Milwaukee to finish above the Cardinals. If you're a Brewers better, that one's at plus 225.
I want to mention this too. Like you mentioned, they didn't really make a splash. Well, for the Brewers, they signed Luke Voigt to a minor league contract. If that guy pans out, I mean, that could be a splash. Like that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, he had like a 50 home run season. If he's capable of doing that again, the Brewers would love that.
Luke Voigt is lurking at the bottom of my roster in loads of my fantasy teams because he was going for absolutely nothing. And you're absolutely right. By the middle of May, you could just be slotting him in and getting production from a top 10 first baseman.
Yep.
I like that a lot. Underdog Fantasy, action heating up for March Madness. College Pick'em is a great way to get in on the action. Underdog Fantasy lets you do that, especially if your bracket is busted after day one. Plus, they have your favourite college basketball player props. If you head to underdogfantasy.com and use the promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit match, and that's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Okay, third in here, we have the Chicago Cubs. The Chicago Cubs are 55-1 for the World Series. They are 28-1 for the National League, plus 650 for the division, plus 310 to make the playoffs. Total here is at 77.5. Dylan, we'll come to Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, another team that made, you know, a lot of moves this offseason. They lost Wilson Contreras, Jason Hayward out the door, Wade Miley, Alex Mills, Framer Reyes. But they did add Cody Bellinger, Dansby Swanson, the biggest one, Trey Mancini, Eric Hosmer, Jason Tyon, Michael Fulmer, Edwin Rios, Tucker Barnhart behind the plate. You know, they added a lot of, like, veteran guys with playoff experience. And you can make the argument some of them are a little past their prime, but you know, they had 74 wins last season. I think with all the additions they did make, I think it's worth four or five more wins. I think they could get 280 wins. And I really like what they've done with this lineup. The pitching rotation scares me a little bit. Kyle Hendricks is starting the season on the IL. Like with the Brewers, I'm going to take a lot of unders. With the Cubs, I'm going to take a lot of overs, especially with the wind blowing out of Wrigley. And Malcolm, you mentioned about the order in the division. I took a bet on a sports book where the Cubs finished third, the Brewers finished second in exact order, and Cardinals finished first at plus 260. So if you think they're going to go in that order, I took a nibble at that. I think it's worth a little something.
There's quite a few bets on my local market here on teams on their exact finishing position, and I think they're some of the best value bets I've seen in these six divisional previews that we've done, because there's a Philly one that stood out just because teams that have got a gap of kind of 6, 7, or 8 games are both above them and below them, so they could have a particularly good season or a particularly bad season, not necessarily threaten that spot. So yeah, I absolutely love that. As far as the Cubs are concerned, the outrights, the World Series, etc., are a million miles away. Even the division, I've got them at they should be 25-1 to win this division for me, not plus 650. So nowhere near it. The total is spot on. I've got they should be 10-1 shots to make the playoffs. They're up at plus 310. So I'm not really interested in backing the Cubs to do anything at all. It is a brand new look lineup. You saying Tucker Barnhart there, Dylan, just reminded me of when you got him mixed up with Kyle Tucker in our World Series DFS lineup. So that was quite funny.
I'm going to be playing more DFS this year, though, I promise.
That's what we need to do. I think Cody Bellinger is the one who could have a little bit of an upside if he could bounce back. So, yeah, it's not too exciting. Seiya Suzuki's injured. They'll get him back soon enough. Matt Mervis was a name we were quite excited about, but myself and Noah have spoken about this before. They seem to be determined to block him from coming up. The rotation is very underwhelming. You've got kind of four SP3s in there. And then maybe Hayden Wesneski could be worth watching. And then there's nothing coming from the farm. So I do like Michael Fulmer as a fantasy option if you've still got a league to draft. But I'd not in. And maybe I'm talking through my pocket a little bit because I was all over the Cubs last year. I think I picked them at 10-1 to win this division and they were awful. But I would be taking the under. So no outright plays for me, but the under 77.5, I don't think they get there, unfortunately. So I'm way the other side of Dylan, Noah. Can you split the time?
I'm going to go with Dylan here. Like, Dylan kind of like so the starting rotation, you shit on it. I'm high on Jameson Taillon on a bounce back year. I thought he was all right with Pittsburgh. When he went to New York, he was a little bit underwhelming. Take him out of the big city. I think this is his bounce back year. Marcus Stroman looked elite in the World Baseball Classic this year. And Justin Steele, we loved. Hayden Wesneski was great down the stretch. Those two tandems, that tandem of prospects, we were betting all August and September that we loved. And in the bullpen, they have a couple of capable pieces. Like they have my boy, the 2017 AL Rookie of the Year, and Michael Fulmer. He could be the Cubbies closer this year. Chicago also has Rowan Wick and Brad Boxberger, who are used to throwing leverage innings. And they have a solid lefty and Brandon Hughes back there. And this lineup, sneaky is the perfect word to describe it, I think. You have a lineup that's projected to have Christopher Morel and Nick Madrigal on the bench. I love Nico Hoerner, Dansby Swanson, and Ian Happ. They're all batting 1-2-3 projected in this Cubs lineup. And a few guys, if they pan out in the middle of the order, like you mentioned, Trey Mancini, Cody Bellinger, Patrick Wisdom, and Eric Hosmer, all four of those guys could be great middle-of-the-order bats if they pan out. And then that's also with Seiya Suzuki on the IL early here with an oblique injury. So I'm on the opposite side of Malcolm here. I think he might be talking out of his pocket because I liked the Cubs last year with him. I didn't get down on it, but I thought it was a good look. And again, I'm going with that. Give me the Cubs. Sprinkle some on them to make the playoffs this year, plus 360. Here's my handicap. You have the three teams from the NL East, the Phillies, the Mets, and the Phillies, the Mets, and the Braves, and the two from the NL West, and the Dodgers and the Padres. The three teams left running are the Cubs, the Brewers, Cardinals, whoever doesn't win the division, and the Giants. You have one team.
The D-backs are going to make the playoffs.
I was just going to say the Snakes. Watch out.
I'm high on the Snakes too, but I don't know if playoffs is like for them this year. That's all I'm going to say.
Real question is Marcus Stroman. I agree. He played fantastic. He pitched fantastic in the WBC, but we tend to see him pitch 4-5 innings and then he'll come out when he's pitching a good game. Like
sounds like a normal starting pitcher to me.
But like you see on the opposite side on a team we'll talk to in Hunter Green on the Reds, he'll be getting blasted for 7-8 runs and he'll pitch to the eighth inning. So if he's consistent, I think then they'll be really good. But I just worry about his innings pitch with Stroman.
I think this team's sneaky good. That's all I'm going to say. Plus 360 to make the playoffs is good enough for me to sprinkle on that.
No, I'm on your side. I love the over.
Honestly, I know, obviously, I've my odds here. I've got them at 10 to 1 to make the playoffs. I'll give you that. I'll give you plus 400. No, you send it my way, mate, when you want it. Plus 400 with M. Bamford bookmakers over here. No problem. Right, we'll move on to one of Noah's teams here. Noah, he does enjoy your dog shit baseball team, and he's got the Pittsburgh Pirates going for him this time round. 200 to 1 for the World Series, 100 to 1 for the National League, 60 to 1 for the division, 15 to 1 to make the playoffs, and a total of 66.5. Noah Bennick, the Pittsburgh Pirates, come on, talk them up. Let's have it.
Just subtle jabs from Malcolm all year long. There's
nothing subtle about it.
Yeah, I do like a sucky baseball team. And the starting rotation, they have a bunch of SP3s. We'll start there because, like I mentioned, I mean, that's the biggest thing I look at when I'm betting on these teams. I'm super high on Rosey Contreras, but he's unproven. Mitch Keller is hot and cold. Like, he could pitch like an SP2. He could suck like an SP5. JT Brubaker is the most mediocre MLB pitcher that has ever lived, but he's consistent. He'll give you 3 or 4 earned in 6 innings, and then you have Dick Mountain and Vince Velasquez to finish off this rotation. The pen, past their closer David Bednar, it's pretty bad. But a lot of people are psyched about this lineup, and I am too. This looks like the strength of this year's team on paper, but there's plenty of uncertainty with a couple of guys. Like, I love Brian Reynolds. I was lucky enough to like see him and grab a picture with him. Big fan, Vandy boy, but he still may want out of Pittsburgh. Will O'Neill Cruz hit for average? Is Carlos Santana a guy they'll flip at the deadline? Can Jack Suwinski stay healthy, stay up for the big league team all year? When will Andy Rodriguez replace Austin Hedges? All of these questions, they're not being talked about as much because we brought back my favorite player of my lifetime and Andrew McCutchen. I can't wait to see him back in the black and gold. It really is like silencing a lot of the questions on this team. I'm not as high as I was earlier this year when they opened this win total at 61. And I told Malcolm, I love this team. Now, where are we sitting at now, Malcolm? What's the number that we're picking?
66.5, mate.
It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. I still think they'll go over that. I think they're like a 70-win ball club. But I don't feel nearly as comfortable betting it this year as I did in the, like, I hear a lot of the public is on this Pirates over, and that's why it's climbed like 5 games. I like this Buccos lineup. I hate the pitching, and that's what's making me pump the brakes on this team. So I'll lean over, but I'm not comfortable with it at all.
All right. Well, I'll make you feel better here because this is going way over. I've got it going 73 Pittsburgh are going to win 73 games. So we'll take the over. The rotation is, the words I've got written down is horrific, which might be a little bit dramatic. But Roensy Contreras, he's got some upside. We like him a lot, but the rest of it's horrible. Defense not great after Bednar, which is exactly what you said. A player I really like is Ji-Hwan Bae, coming out of South Korea, 23-year-old, and Connor Joe from Colorado as well. They've got some upside players. Really going to enjoy watching O'Neill Cruz lead off. He's the StatCast darling. He had sort of the top 50 hardest hit balls ever last season. And I do like the veterans that they've added to those kids that they had anyway. So, yeah, I'm all for it. The pitching is going to be bad, but... I think they can do some stuff, Pittsburgh. They'll score some runs, and I'm happy to play this. So, I mean, if I'd seen it at 61, like I say, I've got them going to 73. So, one of my strongest players in this division. Dylan, how are you feeling about the Pirates?
I think this is our first team ride. I'm very high, actually, on the Pirates this year as well. But I wanted to ask Noah before
I'm
I get
so
into
scared.
My... Yeah, now that we're all on it, now I kind of want to fade it. But Noah, you know, they talk about Brian Reynolds, and it seems like from everything that I read and reports that he still kind of might want out.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll actually move some of the young players this year?
They're not going to trade any of these guys that they've just had marinating in the farm, but Brian Reynolds probably is going to go. I did say that. I feel like people aren't really asking the questions that they should be with this Pirates team. I think it's, there's three doors, there's three closed doors. And if you pick the wrong one, this thing could be the Detroit Tigers of last year.
Yeah, because they've come out, the Pirates, and said, you know, we're not going to trade our young guys, but it still kind of feels like they might trade Brian Reynolds, which worries me a little bit.
I know where Brian Reynolds is going to end up, if that's any help to anyone.
Where?
The New York Yankees is the answer.
Oh, don't tell
me. It's not a bad pick.
They've got no outfielders at all.
Yeah.
Bader, obviously, but then what? Aaron Hicks, leave it out. Stanton and Judge and Pure, their backs and their big bodies will go. So, yeah, he'll be in the pinstripes by mid-July. Let's say that. Write that down.
I didn't give my play real quick, Malcolm. For this Pirates team, yeah, they won 62 games last season. So they lost Bryce Wilson, Zach Thomas. But I actually like Kevin Pelecki too. Connor Joe, you guys mentioned. G-Man Choi, Carlos Santana, Rich Hill, Vince Velasquez. But I think the biggest addition, obviously, is bringing back Andrew McCutchen. You know, I think they did enough this offseason to win six or seven more games. I took it at 66.5. I see 67s out there. So the number's just going to continue to rise. You know, their young guys are getting better, and they're moving in the right direction. I wrote for their pitching staff iffy, and I think I was kind of being generous. But they have a decent lineup, and I think they'll be able to produce runs this season. You know, I think they'll be able to play better defense. And I just can't express how much I'm excited to see Andrew McCutchen in Pittsburgh. So I think they're better than this Reds team. And I'm going to go over 66.5 wins for the Pirates.
I think it's a 70 win lineup, which still isn't like that great of a compliment. No. And I think it's like a 47 win pitching staff. And look at Muna. Like Muna, okay, Muna is in the chat. He's going, y'all are smoking it. Give me the under. Like, it's really worrying me that, you know.
Oh, well, that's all right. If we're all going to take the over, we can put Muna up to some sort of forward. He can take us all for a virtual dinner one night. We'll sit in four separate restaurants and Muna can pick the tab up once Pittsburgh go over this in the second week of September next season. So,
that's a unique idea.
yeah, we'll have a four-way dinner date in spanning 4,500 miles.
Virtual
night on Moonaf. The Cincinnati Reds. Come on, we thought it was bad with the Pirates. We have got the Cincinnati Reds also at 200-1 to win the World Series. The National League is 100-1. Division 60-1. The playoffs 16-1, and the total is at 64.5. Really, it's only the total that's in play. We're not interested in anything else. So they've added Will Myers, Kevin Newman, Will Benson, who made the roster on our TG FBI team, Chad Pinder as well. They're going to have a healthy Jonathan India, hopefully. And then Spencer Steer, someone, a rookie that we talked about in the past. He's an interesting one. So the lineup's, it's poor, but this it's not without hope. The rotation, however, is kind of interesting. Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo. Graham Ashcraft. I read some stuff on Graham Ashcraft just tonight. Dylan's laughing already, but because he made far too many appearances on the show last season for a player of his ability. But I've read some stuff tonight about his spring training, his velo's up. If he can start striking batters out, Ashcraft's going to have a great season. Then it drops off a bit. Lewis Cesar, Brandon Williamson. Not much else to add here. It is what it is with Cincinnati. The total's at 64.5. I've got them getting to 68. So I do like the over. It's a 3.5 game window between the projected line and my line. So I'd be happy to bet that. But yeah, not an awful lot I can add to Cincinnati. Dylan, how are you feeling about the Reds?
Yeah, another 62-win team last year. Mike Moustakas, Kyle Farmer, Mike Marner, they're all gone now. Like you said, they added Will Myers, Luke Weaver, Chad Pender. I don't know. I'm on the opposite side. I don't know if this team is 3 wins better than last season. I feel like another bad year is coming for them. I don't like their pitching staff at all. Their lineup isn't good. I feel like it's going to be another 100-loss season for the Reds. You know, I am interested in their 1-2 punch in Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo, but
1-2-3 punch.
But other than that, you know, this team doesn't impress me at all. I'll be short with this one. Give me the under. I'm fading the Reds all year.
Okay, so it's a big fade of the Reds for Dylan. He's not beating around the bush. He just killed him. Noah, any hope from you?
I'm on the over.
I like
the Reds pitching staff. They got a great closer in Alexi Diaz, who is Edwin Diaz's brother, like we mentioned. I mean, this bullpen could be bottom five in the league, but Buck Farmer and Reaver San Martin are also hiding in that bullpen. And like we mentioned, the rotation of Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, and Graham Ashcraft, they're young and really talented. The only thing that holds me back is their own ballpark. It's kind of a shoebox in the Great American Ballpark. But, I mean, Nick Lodolo has not struggled keeping the ball in the park. It's more Hunter Green when you supply the speed and how fast his fastball is. When hitters turn it around, it goes pretty far. This lineup, just like the rotation, is actually better than I think a lot of people think. Jonathan India is back. Hopefully he stays healthy. Joey Votto's still there. Tyler Stevenson's great. Jake Fraley's good. Will Myers, they added via free agency, and we'll see how rookies Spencer Steer and Will Benson perform. The biggest thing with me for this Reds team is last year they started 3-23. It was a terrible, terrible start, and they were one of the better finishing teams in the league. I think this team goes over, and I think it's pretty easy to see them actually getting 3 more wins than they did last year.
Oh, there you go. A solid case made by Noah. Yeah, there's a couple of names I never mentioned as well that you did. Jake Fraley's another good spot. Yeah, Tyler Stevenson. They've got a little bit of depth and, like I say, some rookies coming through that can add to it as well. So, yeah, hopefully we can get Cincinnati over the total. Right, okay, so I think that has got us to the end of our handicaps. So we need to throw out our best bets here. We will start with Dylan, all your best bets for the NL Central this year, please.
Yeah, my best bet would be just one. I do like the Cubs over. I think that would be a close second. Their win total of 77.5. I love all the additions that they made. But my best bet is going to be a division winner. I'm going to take the St. Louis Cardinals. I got them at -115. Still get them at -120, 125. But yeah, last year I made the mistake of not picking the Cardinals to win the division. I won't be making the same mistake this year. To be honest, I'm not the biggest future guy like Noah alluded to earlier in the show, just because I don't like to tie my money up for 6-7 months investment, unless we're getting really great odds, for example, +150 or above. But that's just my opinion. I do think I do think this Cardinals team will win the NL Central, though. I think a few teams got better, but nothing to the magnitude of the Cardinals. I think they run away with the division. I think they have the best lineup. I think Goldie will be hitting 320 in May. Eventually this season, we'll bring up some of the young guys that we mentioned in the majors, and that's why I didn't really have that much to make noise, just because other teams didn't have as much depth as the Cardinals did. So really excited for this Cardinals team this season, and I think they could go far. I know they got bounced early in the playoffs, but they're my pick to win the NL Central, St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay, love that. 77, what are your best bets?
So for me, my favorite win total is the Cubs over. My best bet is the Brewers to make the playoffs at +115. And my sprinkles, the long shots, Corbin Burns, Cy Young, +550. Brandon Woodruff, Cy Young, 19-1. And Garrett Mitchell, Rookie of the Year, 30-1.
Okay. Getting some exotic stuff out the door. I've got five picks written down here. The first one of which is going to be St. Louis for the World Series at 22-1. I've picked, there's three or four teams here that we've done these. The Tampa Bay Rays were one at a price. The LA Angels were another one. Just that where the odds are bigger than I've got them at. So I say I've got St. Louis at 20-1. So I'll happily take a little bit of 22s. I will co-sign Noah's Brewers to make the playoffs bet at +115. That was one of mine. And then I've got three totals here. The Cubs are going under, which helps no one because you two both took the over. And then I've got Pittsburgh over, which is probably my strongest play here. I've got them going way over, like I say, seven games over the projection. And Cincinnati over 64.5 as well. So they will be my five plays here. And I will just give out that one. If you do like the Brewers to win the division, not that we do, but if you're a Brewers better, take them to win with the Cardinals in second place. That gives you odds of +225. Rather than the +145 that they are now. I think that's a great way of adding a little bit of extra value to that bet. And I think we're done, kids. Do you, either of you, anything else that you want to tell us about before we get going?
Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it. You know, I think we're all a little bit too high on my Pirates this year, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I can't wait for the season. I know we're going to be ramping up episodes. And yeah, just think of it. After we go to sleep, we'll be less than a week away from opening day.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. So, yeah, coming up on the show in the next week, we will have the player props, all the awards. We'll be making some picks for them. And then I suppose it'll be Tuesday or Wednesday evening, as soon as we get some opening day lines, we will fire out a regular season episode. All the 30 teams play as well on opening day. And that never happens. That hasn't happened for donkey's years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to that as well. So we can get a full slate of MLB bets out next Tuesday or Wednesday night.
Tell the listeners how often we do those regular season podcasts.
We do them every weeknight.
And, wow, really?
Yeah, exactly. And then occasionally on a Sunday, and then some turbo ones on a weekend as well.
Let's go.
So yeah, loads of stuff to look forward to. I can't wait. This is proper countdown mode there. Dylan just said it. Yeah, we go to bed tonight, and it is less than a week. This time next week,
MLB the show comes out tonight too.
Sorry,
MLB the show.
Oh, MLB the show.
Who's on the cover this year?
Jazz Chisholm.
Oh wow.
Yeah, interesting. Little bit of an interesting decision there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably because he represents Team GB. Team GB, WBC winners over Columbia. Have a little bit of that, boys.
He does.
What?
When did he play for Great Britain? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He didn't. He doesn't have to play to be a member of Team GB. I'm a member of Team GB. I didn't play. We're all part of.
You're the member of the Nighthawks, I thought.
Who are also members of mate. That's what, do you know what the word team means? If you do you understand this concept of a team?
Team or community?
Or yeah, country. Same thing. Malcolm. I think they Malcolm mean the same thing.
Very interesting. Did you know the Great Britain players, like people at the Virgin Islands or the people of the island descent, they were able to play for Great Britain this season? So it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because we spent 300 years annexing half of the world.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, we.
Yeah, we just farmed. It's the same with our cricket team, which is all the subcontinent, Indians, Sri Lankans, Pakistanis. We've got Jamaicans in there. We don't care. We don't discriminate. We just hoover everybody up like it's, pretty shameless, really. But what's not to like? That's what's held me back all these years, Dylan. I'll be honest. I would have been in that lineup if it hadn't been for all the Caribbean players. Yeah. Well done, everyone. Usual places to like, rate, review, follow us on YouTube because we'll be going live, like I say, 4, 5, 6 times a week, starting midweek next time. Really appreciate it. Good luck with all your bets. We'll be back early next week. And until then, we'll see you down the road. Cheers.